Here in chapter 31 of the book of Ezekiel. And it came to pass in the 11th year, in the third month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak unto Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his multitudes. Now you know we just come out of Egypt. Whom art thou like in thy greatness? Behold, the Assyrian was a cedar in Lebanon with fair branches and with a shadowing shroud, and of a high stature, and his top was among the thick boughs. The waters made him great, the deep set him up on high, with her rivers running round about his plants, and sent out her little rivers unto all the trees of the field. Therefore his height was exalted above all the trees of the field, and his bough were multiplied, and his branches became long because of the multitude of waters when he shot forth. All the fowls of heaven made their nest in his bough, and under his branches did all the beasts of the field bring forth their young, and under his shadow dwelt in great nations. Thus was he fair in his greatness in the length of his branches, for his root was by great waters. The cedars in the garden of God could not hide him. The fir trees were not like his bough, and the chestnut tree were not like his branches, nor any tree in the garden of God was like unto him in his beauty. I have made him fair by the multitude of his branches, so that all the trees of Eden that were in the garden of God envied him. Therefore thus saith the Lord God, because thou hast lifted up thyself in height, and he hath shot up his top among the thick boughs, and his heart is lifted up in his height, I have therefore delivered him into the hand of the mighty one of the heathen. He shall surely deal with him. I have driven him out for his wickedness. And strangers, the terrible of the nations, have cut him off, and have left him upon the mountains and in all the valleys. His branches are fallen, and his bar are broken by all the rivers of the land, and all the people of the earth are gone down from the shadow and have left him. Upon his ruin shall all the fowls of the heaven remain, and all the beasts of the field shall be upon his branches, to the end that none of all the trees by the water exalt themselves for their height, neither shoot up their top among the thick boughs, neither their trees stand up in their height. All that drink water, for they are all delivered unto death, to the nether part of the earth, in the midst of the children of men, with them that go down to the pit. Thus saith the Lord God, in the day when he went down to the grave, I caused a mourning, I covered the deep for him, and I restrained the floods thereof, and the great waters were stayed. And I caused Lebanon to mourn for him, and all the trees of the field fainted for him. I made the nations to shake at the sound of his fall, when I cast him down to hell with them that descended into the pit. And all the trees of Eden, the choice and best of Lebanon, all that drink the water, shall be comforted in the nether part of the earth. They also went down into hell with him, unto them that be slain with the sword, and they that were in his arm, that dwelt under his shadow, in the midst of the heathen. To whom art thou thus like in glory, and in greatness among the trees of Eden? Yet shalt thou be brought down with the trees of Eden unto the nether parts of the earth. Thou shalt lie in the midst of the uncircumcised, with them that be slain by the sword. This is Pharaoh, and all his multitude, saith the Lord God. And it came to pass in the 12th year, in the 12th month, in the first day of the month, that the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, take up a lamentation for Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and say unto him, Thou art like a young lion of the nations, and thou art as a whale in the seas, and thou camest forth with thy rivers, and troublest the waters with thy feet, and foulest their rivers. Thus saith the Lord God, I will therefore spread out my net over thee with a company of many people, and they shall bring thee up in my net. Then will I leave thee upon the land. I will cast thee forth upon the open field, and will cause all the fowls of the heaven to remain upon thee, and I will fill the beast of the whole earth with thee. And I will lay thy flesh upon the mountains, and fill the valleys with thy height. I will also water with thy blood the land wherein thou swimmest, even to the mountains, and the rivers shall be full of thee. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. All the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee, and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. I will also vex the hearts of many people when I shall bring thy destruction among the nations into the countries which thou hast not known. Yea, I will make many people amazed at thee, and their kings shall be horribly afraid for thee, when I shall brandish my sword before them, and they shall tremble at every moment, every man for his own life, in the day of thy fall. But thus saith the Lord God, the sword of the king of Babylon shall come upon thee. By the swords of the mighty will I cause thy multitude to fall, the terrible of the nation, all of them, and they shall spoil the pomp of Egypt, and the multitudes thereof shall be destroyed. I will destroy also all the beasts thereof from beside the great waters, neither shall the foot of man trouble them any more, nor the hoofs of beasts trouble them. Then will I make their waters deep, and cause their rivers to run like oil, saith the Lord God. When I shall make the land of Egypt desolate, and the country shall be destitute of that whereof it was full, when I shall smite all them that dwell therein, then shall they know that I am the Lord. This is the lamentation wherewith I shall lament her. The daughters of the nation shall lament her. They shall lament for her, even for Egypt and for all her multitudes, saith the Lord of hosts. You know, it came to pass exactly like the Lord said. I remember reading where it came to pass where the great armies of Babylon went down and took the country. A great slaughter and a great victory for those that went down. But the Lord is speaking of more than just Egypt. God is speaking of more than just Pharaoh. He is telling the fall of the great and mighty Pharaoh. But he is also telling the fall of Lucifer. How that Lucifer is fallen. For thou art fallen, the Lord said. And he brings it out here. And when I shall put thee out, I will cover the heaven and make the stars thereof dark. I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. If you remember at Calvary, this came to pass. Ezekiel spoke of it, and Jesus said, I beheld Satan as lightning fall from heaven. And when Jesus came in the form of sin to be smitten by the Father and was taken to Calvary, this was the fall of Lucifer. We esteem Jesus smitten of God, bruised for our transgressions and our iniquities. The Bible says that the chastisement of our peace was upon him, by whose stripes we're healed. And it was at Calvary that the sun turned dark as sackcloth of hair. It was at Calvary that all of the stars thereof turned dark. And it was there, the book of Revelation records this, how that the stars fell from heaven. Here, when this particular seal was opened, the Bible says, and the sixth seal was opened, and the heavens rolled back as a scroll, and the stars fell from heaven. That is, they turned dark, or that is to say, the wandering stars. As to the wandering stars, he said, all the bright lights of heaven will I make dark over thee and set darkness upon thy land, saith the Lord God. He said, the stars thereof dark, I will cover the sun with a cloud, and the moon shall not give her light. And so it was here at Calvary that we find that this took place. And when John wrote about it in 96 AD, He tells us of the seals and how they were open, and that in the sixth seal that the stars fell from heaven. That is to say that the stars turned dark. They lost their light. There are many stars in the heavens that are wandering stars. These are wandering stars. There are in the natural, those stars that are wandering stars that's made out of nickel and rock. They do not have a light as the sun. They're not burning as a light, but they are a reflector. With the brightness of the nickel or the rock, they reflect the light, and they gleam or glimmer just like another star. But they are wandering stars. They're only helped there by the great sunlight. And so then at Calvary, when the sun turned dark, that is when God, the great light, covered himself, veiled himself in that he could not look upon iniquity. As he beheld his son, there came the great wall, the middle wall of partition between the Son of God and between the Heavenly Father. And Jesus cried out, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? But this great darkness came. That is the spirit of Satan between earth and between heaven. It rose up between Jesus and between God. And God gave his only son to be able to cast this power out, to rend this veil between man and between God, or to take away the infiltration of the flesh, which is between the interangelic being of man and the Spirit of God. God had to send his son down. God had to come down as a spiritual being in a little house of clay, and being made in the image of sin, went to Calvary, and to hear the great mighty power of the living God smote this body, and the Bible says that he made a way through the veil. And he made a sure way, in that the Bible said it was through his flesh. It was through the flesh of the Son of God, God rending the flesh, in that he made in himself twain, and the Bible says, separating the spirit from the body of the Lord from the Christ, he rent the veil in twain. And so then we see that the stars turned dark. That is to say that Lucifer, or the powers of Lucifer, as to the fallen angels that are represented in the natural galaxy by the wandering stars, when these natural stars fall from heaven, as recording in the book of Revelation, and they will, then it shows that somewhere at a certain time, that spiritual stars fell from the spiritual heaven and went into total eclipse. That is, they went into darkness. And so then at Calvary, we find that these stars were cast out. When Jesus was smitten and the Jews went out, it represented the devil and those fallen angels, because Jesus represented the devil in being cast out as to the natural body, as to that which was smitten of God, of that which God turned his back on. That is to say, at death, the spirit of Christ, leaving that body, it left that body in the hands of the darkness. And so then the withdrawing in that, Jesus said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Or that is to say, since Jesus was the fullness of God, when God rent himself loose from the body and God went away, the body stayed by itself. And the last words was, as death set in, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? So then God did that he might not have to forsake me in death, that death would have no power over me, that I would have full power over Satan and all of the powers of the enemy, and that I'd have power over darkness. That is to say, the intellectual reasoning that of the infiltration that got into the body by the fall in the garden when man partook of the tree of knowledge. So, here in the book of Ezekiel, this great prophet, long before this comes to pass, the word of the Lord comes unto the prophet. And the prophet said, thus saith the Lord, I'll turn the stars dark. I'll turn the sun into darkness. And whereas the Bible said that this thing happened, just as he said, I will send Elijah the prophet before the great and notable day of the Lord come, when everything shall burn as an oven. So then here God putting this between him and the body, as Jesus was made sin, taking on our sin, God, who could not look upon iniquity, smote his own son to the extent that we esteem him smitten of God, bruised for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace upon him by whose stripes we are healed. And today we reckon ourselves to be dead indeed unto the world and unto sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. I am dead to the world and I'm dead to sin by the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. So then Satan cannot touch me. The Bible said he that is born of God keepeth himself, and the evil one toucheth him not. In that the Bible says that we are born of God, and he that is born of God cannot sin. When you're born of God, there's no way you can sin. You may stumble, you may stagger in your body, you may do that. That would be sin as to what the world sees, because the stumbling and the staggering are the same as their stumbling and staggering. But inasmuch as God has sealed your interangelic being, which is your spirit, by his spirit, never at any time does sin enter into your life. Never at any time do you ever feel the sting of sin as unto death to your spirit. Your spirit is passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. And your spirit is sealed by the great spirit of the living God, to where Satan cannot even get near your spirit, because your spirit is a concealed light within this body, and darkness and light hath no fellowship. So then when your mind is harassed, when you're completely swallowed up, it seems, and being harassed by the powers of the devil as to the accusing thoughts and all of these things that continually aggravate you, that tries to trample down the mind of humanity. When all of these things come, they have no power over you whatsoever. All day long you are accused. It never stops. The Bible said the thoughts of men's heart is continually evil, speaking of after the flood. But God has gone down into the heart of the believer, and he's moved out the ungodliness and the filth, and he's placed his spirit within our spirit. And as I said this morning, he's brought the virtue as to put the protection, as you would put this in the safeguard into the fabric to keep the stains out. So has God become interwoven as the oneness with my angelic being, and it's not me living on the inside, but it is the life of Christ. So then in this, I am filled with God's presence. I am filled with God's knowledge. I am full of the Spirit of God. And God is with me, and God is walking with me, and God tells me what to think, and God tells me what to do. And my thoughts are no longer my thoughts as to the inner man, but my thoughts are God's thoughts. And those thoughts all the day long are talking to me. But at the same time, there is another mind that speaks to me. There is a continual warfare between the body and the spirit. And Paul said, when I would do good, I find that evil is present with me. Out of my innermost being comes lovely thoughts of Jesus. But at the same time, I feel the powers of evil as they assail my mind. And within my body there dwelleth no good thing. And I find a warfare that when I would inwardly do good, there is another law that's warring against the law of my mind, bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death as in this flesh. But see, I am not in the flesh. Therefore, I have escaped the flesh. The Bible said they that are in the flesh cannot please God. I've left the flesh. I've gone into the heavenlies. I'm hid with Christ in God. See whom the heavens have received. My body has been buried in a watery grave. It's dead but the body of Jesus. And God never again sees my body at any time. My body is buried in the water in the name of the Lord Jesus. And my spirit has gone back to God who gave it. And I am dwelling in the heavenly places, and in the heavenly places I am as an angel. Angels cannot die. The Bible said in heaven ye are as angels, and angels cannot die. So then we are equal to the angels. We cannot die, and we're dwelling in these heavenly places. We're sitting together, being partakers of the grace of God in these wonderful heavenly places, and the devil can't get nigh. The Bible said all of these things shall fall around your dwelling. You'll see the fall of the empires of the world. You'll see the fall of mankind. You'll see all these things happening. But you'll never fall. They that do these things shall never fall. You may stumble in the flesh. You may fall in the flesh. So far as the world's concerned. But you never fall the first time. That's why a good man can fall 7 times to get back up. Because on the inside, he never falls. Never at any time does he fall. Never at any time does Satan ever touch him. He can always get back up if he stumbles, if he staggers, if the devil prepares a trap for him when he's trying to do his very best, then God will just give him the strength as he did Daniel to make him stand on his feet again and witness that the grace of God is sufficient. God's grace is sufficient. That's why the Bible says, happy is he that does not condemn himself over that thing which he alloweth. That is to say, if he stumbleth, then he's allowed it, and yet he did not allow for it in his spirit, but he allowed it in that he is subject to the vanities of this world, and he stumbled. But he should never condemn himself over it, because on the inside he has never been touched. On the inside, he has never been defiled. On the inside, he's still great and mighty and powerful. On the inside, full of the grace of God, full of the power of God, full of the goodness of God. And he doesn't need to condemn himself, because the moment that he condemns himself, it strikes his faith. His faith goes down. His shield is no more. And the devil comes in on him, and the devil just rends him. But the Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward, taking the shield of faith, that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. So you should never condemn yourself. And the reason that you should never condemn yourself is because there is now therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. How can you condemn yourself when there isn't any condemnation? If you condemn yourself, you're in violation of the word. And you're giving place to the devil, because there is no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus. There is no condemnation to them. Why then are you under condemnation? Or why do you go around with condemnation when there is no condemnation to them that are in the Lord Jesus Christ? We have no condemnation because we are not in the flesh. If I was in the flesh, I would have condemnation. But I'm not in the flesh. I'm in the spirit. And there is no condemnation in the spirit. There is no death in the spirit. There is no sickness in the spirit. There is no poverty in the spirit. There is no defeat in the spirit. I am born to the spirit. I'm not in the flesh. The Bible said, he that is born to the flesh is of flesh. He that is born to the spirit, he is of spirit. I was born in the flesh one time. As my father's son in the natural, I was a fleshly being. But now I am dead to that life. I died to that life. By the body of Jesus, I am no more in that life. That's why Jesus, when the mother came and she said, I would see my son, Jesus said, who is my mother? I'm dead to that, he could have said. I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. I don't belong to you and Joseph. I am a spiritual man. I'm spiritually alive. Who is my mother? He said, these that do the will of my Father, which is in heaven. God is my Father. I have but one Father, even God, the Heavenly Father. So then we are free from sin and condemnation. We're free from earthly fathers and mothers. We're free from the things of this world. And we're born into the Spirit of God. And we are spiritual, and we cannot sin because we are born of God. And therefore we cannot die, because the sting of death is sin. And when sin is completely conquered, that means death is completely gone. That's why the Bible said, ye have passed from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Never shall ye come into condemnation, because you are alive forevermore. I once was dead, living in trespasses and sin. I once was dead. For the Bible said, they that live in trespasses and sin, they're dead while they live. I once was dead, but now I'm not dead. I am alive forevermore. I've resurrected from the dead, and I am alive forevermore. So then the great, wonderful blessing of God is with me, and I pass from death unto life and shall never come into condemnation. Therefore, why should I condemn myself over that thing that I allow in my stumbling and staggering, when I know that my heart is right with God and I love the Lord? Like David of old said, David said, I know that my ways don't please God. Folks, I know that your ways don't please God. And I know that my ways don't please God. There's a lot of things in my life, a lot of things in my ways that don't please God. But one thing I do know is that my heart is perfect before Him.
David said, my heart is perfect before him. And God witnessed that he was a man after God's own heart. My heart is perfect before God. He said, for my heart paineth after God like the heart of the woods doth after the water stream. Or after the waters. So then my heart panteth after God. My heart is perfect before God. Because God has wrought a work in my heart. And the Bible says that God hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. He hath made me perfect on the inside. He hath taken my inner man, my angelic man, and hath made him perfect. Paul said, there is a will as to performance within my heart. He said, but as to this body, I can't find a way to perform it. He said, for when I would do good as to the inner man, I see another law warring against the law of my mind, which is in my members, in my outer man. And he brings, and this power brings me into captivity to the law of sin and death. That is to say, I am subject to death through the law. The law brings me under condemnation because the law said thou art guilty. And when I say, but I keep the law, then a voice says to me, no flesh shall be justified by the law. So I'm back again under sin and death. And then I say, oh, what can I do? Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. I'm a wretched man, he said. I see this. I hear this. This is the thing that keeps tearing at me. I find something warring against my mind, he said, when I don't want to think that way. I don't want to be like that. I want to be holy. I want to be virtuous. I want to be godly, he said. But this thing keeps trampling my mind down and warring against me, he said, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me? Who shall deliver me? Paul cried out, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? This body is death. Satan saveth the thing that be of the flesh, the thing that's bent, that's of the body. That's why I tell you so many times, flee those things that's in the flesh. Turn away from the things of the flesh. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. Get away from the things of the world. Don't go into the things of the world. Don't think your own thoughts. Don't seek the things of the flesh, because Satan is the prince of this world. He savors, he loves the things that be of the flesh. Anytime you laugh and joke and frolic, anytime you go out into the world to make yourself a name, it'll be something in the flesh. Anytime you're protruding like women are with their bodies and men are with their bodies, God abhors you. But Satan just loves it because he lives in the human body. And he goes around showing himself off. You know, he can ride down the road. As I was telling a brother here, well, the brother that was with me over in Israel, was riding down the road, and here's hundreds of women standing there, half nude. Over there in the Ramada Inn where we was at, there was thousands of people coming and going. Hundreds and hundreds of men and women knew. All night long they rent and they raved. All night long they went on. We were up in about the eighth floor, I believe it was, and over in the night I slipped out on the balcony. I fastened my robe around me and I slipped out on the balcony and I looked down and they were just like animals. And just thousands of people and cars is going to and fro and people screaming and horns blowing and all night hollering and yelling like animals. And I was out there on the balcony and I prayed. I said, oh God, save these people. God, open the eyes of these people. God, do something for these people. They're blind. All night long they went on and raged like that. You couldn't get any rest. All night long it was that way. See, the devil saying, look at me, look at my body, he says, as a man flexes his muscles. And the woman, as she struts and minces with her feet, the Bible says as she goes. See, Satan is in her, a devil is in her, saying, look at my body. And over here, the devil is on the corner, and the woman saying, look at me. And she's trying to show her face off and her body off over here with her form-fitting clothes. And all these things are going on all the time. I said, God, what is this? He said, the sinful and adulterous generation. He said, this is the adulterous generation. He said, this generation in my eyes, they are adulterous. They are adulterous in their thinking. They are adulterous in their talking. They are adulterous in their dressing. They are adulterous in their homes. They're adulterous in their marriages. They are adulterous on the street. He said, this is a sinful generation and an adulterous generation. And he spoke of burning them with fire. So we see this. God said, and I will cast thee out. In the day that I cast thee out, all of the light will be gone. As you people, that are in this realm, maybe righteous people, maybe not righteous people. All of you that are hearing me, those that are looking at me, you might be righteous, you might not be righteous. But there's one thing about it. If you're not righteous, then that means that you are wandering stars. You are in the church. You are tasting of the heavenly gift. You're being made partakers of the Holy Ghost in that the blood is on the seat of atonement. And the blood is applied to take away your sins as through this dispensational grace age. To where you can feel the presence of God, feel the blessings of God, and still die and go to hell. Just as quick as the sun turns into darkness, all of those wandering stars that are reflectors will be dark because they don't have any light of their own. They don't have any light. At Calvary, these demons did not have any light. Like Israel. Israel is blinded in part. They represent the fallen angels. They represent the devils that God rejected. See, as to the body being dead, as to Jesus representing the fall of Satan. See, Christ speaks of the body. In the body, there's no good thing. And Jesus was made in the image of sin. So when God speaks of Jesus, it speaks of him falling from the presence of God. And the body is crying out as it falls, my God, why am I falling away from thee? Oh, that is my God, why are you withdrawing from me? Why have you forsaken me, my Father? God forsook Jesus. He left him there. Someone would say, well, he didn't really forsake him. He really forsook him. Had he not truthfully forsaken Jesus, he could never have saved me. But in that he truthfully forsook Jesus, he gave his only begotten son. He actually gave him up. His only begotten son, he gave him up that he might hold me and to keep me. And even though Jesus raised himself from the dead by the power of God, yet he did leave God. He was to fall away from God. He was taken away from God. God withdrew. And this is when the Christ said that I saw Satan as lightning fall from heaven. Because when Jesus fell away from God, this was the fall of Lucifer, in that he was made in the image of sin, and he had trapped Satan. He had trapped Satan within the image of that body. And he had trapped Satan in that the body never did do any sin. It never did do any wrong. It was the perfect one that could trap Satan and bring again the Adam that was not in the transgression. And in so doing, he bound Satan. And when he bound Satan and when Jesus fell, he took the devil with him right down into the flames of hell. He took him right with him. He reached and got him. And he took him right down into the flames of hell. Remember, it reminds me of the vision I had where I had a hold of him and wouldn't let him go. Obviously, in the vision, it was Christ. Paul said, not me living, but Christ. I wouldn't let him go until the fire came as to the devouring and the consummation. Whereas we've latched on to the word, like David, Paul said, we believe. We believe and we don't let go of the word. We hold to the word. The Bible said, and the wise man built his house upon the rock, and the rains came and the winds came and floods came, but it couldn't overthrow that house because it was founded on a rock. Let me tell you something, folks. There's going to come a hard day in your life. The Bible said every sacrifice shall be salted with salt, and every one shall be salted with fire. So then fire, you're going to be salted with fire. You're going to be tried as depth of fire. And there's going to come a hard time in your life. And there's going to be times when the devil's going to talk to you and make you think that God doesn't love you and that God's a million miles away from you and there's no hope for you, that you've sinned, that you have committed the unpardonable, that you've done those things that God didn't want done, and now God is separated from you and there's no hope for you. And I'll tell you, unless you're founded on a rock, unless you believe in the word, in that God is a rock, in that the Bible said, who is a rock but our God? Unless you believe in the word, unless you're founded in the word, unless you staunchly are rooted and grounded in the word of God, you're going to fall. You're going to suffer injury. You're going to suffer loss because Satan is coming. There is a continual warfare between the body and the soul. There is a continual warfare, and Satan is an accuser. All the way along, he accuses. It doesn't matter what you try to do. He's always accusing your mind, always saying things to your mind, always plaguing you like a disease. You said, get away from me, devil. You get to where you want to scream, you know. You could just scream and say, oh my God, get this thing away from me. But it doesn't do any good. You know, you can scream, you can holler, you can bump your head against the wall. People have beat the brains out against the wall. They've killed themselves trying to get that thing to stop. See, trying to do away with that voice that's continually speaking to them all the time, speaking to them. It never stops. It's a continual warfare. But if you have Christ on the inside, something will counteract that. And on the inside, something will put that aside, and something will overcome that. Like Paul said, oh, wretched man that I am. He said, I'm a mess. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who is going to deliver me from the body of this death? And he said, I thank God that what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh, condemned sin, condemned death, put it away at Calvary. And he said, today I'm no longer in the flesh, but I'm in the spirit. That is, I counsel out on all of those things because it hath no power over me. I'm free from the body and I'm free from sin and death. I'm free of those things that the devil is saying and all the howling and going on. Like I heard that in the night over in Israel. All of those voices, all of those things. I stayed there on the balcony and I listened at it and I prayed and I pleaded and I begged, but it didn't stop. And after a while, I thought, I done prayed for them, God, I don't know nothing else to do. And I stepped inside of my room and I shut to the door. See, and I shut it all on the outside and I went off into rest. So then all you got to do is enter into his gates with thanksgiving. Enter into his courts with praise. Keep your mind stayed upon Christ Jesus. And meditate in his laws day and night. Rejoice forevermore. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. This is the day that the Lord has made. This is the Lord's day. Enter into the day of the Lord. Enter in as John did. Into the day of the Lord and praise the Lord. Go into his gates with thanksgiving. Get into there with praise, saying, hallelujah, glory to God. I love you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I praise you, Lord, for all of the wonderful things. And as you do, your spirit will begin to leave the body. And like Paul said, you'll just go right off into the third heaven. You'll find yourself just going up just like an airplane takes off from a landing strip. So you're praising God. You're talking to God because you're leaving all of that behind. You don't hear it anymore. You drowned it out. And just as quick as you stop praising God, just as quick as you stop meditating in the laws of God, all of a sudden here comes this stuff back again. All of this filth, all of this evil, all of this dirt, all of this scum. Paul said, and I see another law in my members, speaking of the body, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin and death. Oh, that is this thing that keeps saying, you know you're guilty. You know you're guilty. The law says, you know you're guilty. You can't get out of bondage. You're guilty. You've done this. And you know the law said. See, obey is God said and you're guilty. God said and you broke what God said and you're guilty. But see, we just say, no, the Bible says I'm born of God. I can't sin. There's no way you can touch me, devil. You can howl and you can go on and you can put all kinds of thoughts in my mind. But I'm clean and I'm holy. I'm godly. I'm pure. I'm free from sin and death. And all that you can say and all that you can do will never touch me one time or defile me one time. Because I am free from the body and that it is under the law of sin and death. So then we see that at Calvary, the sun turned dark for my sake, and the stars fell from heaven. And today the Jews are still in the darkness. That is, in the intellectual darkness, they're wandering around, even as that rabbi that I talked to, they're still in the intellectual darkness. They've never come into the light of God because they represented the fall of Lucifer as to the fallen angels. And Jesus represented the overthrow of Lucifer. So then he said, why hast thou forsaken me? But because the Jews were the scapegoat, because Jesus was willing to do that as to atone for my sin, today I'm in the presence of God. Today I'm dwelling in the heavenly places. Today I'm free from the law of sin and death. Today I cannot sin because God has taken me from sin and death. This is why that I preach Daniel said, and Messiah shall come and make an end of sin. Jesus came and he made an end of sin for everyone that believeth on Christ Jesus. We are free from the law of sin and death. So then he made me free. I'm free today because he done away with sin. He made an end of sin, and sin is no more in my world. He that is born of God cannot sin. There's no more sin in my world. I know a lot of people say, well, Brother Pike, I can't believe that. I'm sorry for you if you can't believe it. That's your business. I have no argument with you whatsoever. But I'm free from the law of sin and death. God made an end of sin in my life, and there's no sin in my world where I live. There is no sin in my world because God done away with sin. That's why I asked the rabbi, I said, when do you think Messiah is coming? This is why that the Jews are still in the darkness, because the rabbi does not understand that the law of sin and death is gone. He does not understand that the Messiah has come and taken away sin, and he's still asking God for the forgiveness of sins. So then we are free from the law of sin and death. Though we pray, Father, forgive our sins, though we pray, Father, forgive our trespasses, though we do these things, because we are trying to bring the body into subjection to Christ. And to the world, it would be sin. And to us, those stumblings and staggerings would still be sin. But in that God took away sin, there is no sin in it. We only say to God, forgive us of these things, because this is the way that we come to God through the Lord Jesus. That is to say, this is to acknowledge that we are free from sin. To say unto God, Father, my sins be forgiven me through the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore I come boldly before the throne of grace in the time of need, because my sins are gone. They're gone. The writer said they're gone. They're in the sea of God's forgetfulness. That's good enough for me. They're gone. My sins are gone. So then I go to God and I say, Heavenly Father, look upon thy son. Look upon thy son, Heavenly Father. I need help, Heavenly Father. I'm free from sin and death. I'm clean in your sight by the blood of Jesus. And I come to you boldly expecting you to do what I ask you to do. Command thou me concerning the works of my hand. Hallelujah. And I go to the Lord and I say, Heavenly Father, look at your son. I prayed that way. I'd go to pray and the devil would say, why, you old dirty nothing, you know that you ain't nothing. And you know that you're not worthy to come to God, and you can't get nothing from God. And I'd say, Heavenly Father, look at your son, bone of his bone and flesh of his flesh. Not a spot, not a wrinkle, not a blemish. I come in the name of Jesus. I want such and such. And the Lord said, it's granted, son. It's granted. Hallelujah. That's the way we're supposed to do. When you are sick, go before the throne boldly. Boldly, not arrogantly, boldly before the throne. Being strong in the power of his strength. And being bold in the righteousness of Almighty God. And go before him as a son and a daughter. Can you imagine one of your children, you that have children, coming before you? They get down at your feet and they cry and they beg and they weep and they wash your feet with tears and they say, Daddy, I know, Mother, I know I'm not fit. I'm not worthy. Oh, Mother, I need you to help me. I'm so sick. Would you help me? But Mother, I'll have to go my way. Daddy, I know I'm unworthy. I know that you don't have time to mess with me. I know that you're not going to help me. But I'm humble. I want you to know, Daddy. But I know that I'm not worthy. So they get up and go their way. Can you imagine that? Oh, no. If Junior hurts his toe or Sissy hurts her finger, she comes crying with that little finger, or Junior comes with that little toe and he says, Mommy, Mommy, Daddy, my toe, my finger. And you put your arms around and say, oh, my precious little darling child. And you start doing everything you can, and Junior expects you to do it. And if you don't do it, he wants to know why you didn't do it. And he says, my toe, Mommy, my toe. See, that's the way we go to God. We go to God because we are His. We're His darling children. And we say, Jesus, 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 my finger. Like I heard about a little girl, and this little girl got hurt. And she got hurt. And she started to call on the Lord. And she said, hurry, Jesus. Hurry, Jesus. You know, that's the way it's supposed to be. She was seriously hurt and could have been under death according to what I heard. But she said, hurry, Jesus, hurry, Jesus. And according to the report, Jesus hurried and healed her. He hurried and healed her. That's what we should do. Say, hurry, Jesus, hurry. See, he's on our side. He's on our side. He wants to help us. He wants to protect your loved ones. He wants to protect your life. He wants to protect your health. He wants to bless you. So then I read here of the fall of Lucifer. This is what brings it into focus. See, Jesus said, I beheld him fall as lightning from heaven. I have destroyed him that hath power over death. Do you realize that if God destroyed him that hath power over death, there is no more anything that hath power over death? If you have destroyed him that hath power over death, there is nothing more that hath power over death. You understand that? That is, if God has destroyed death, if God has destroyed sin, if he made an end of it by folding up the law and laying the law away and making me dead to the law of sin and death and making me dead to the world. I'm dead to the world with the body of Jesus and the world is dead to me. If God did that, I'm free from the world. I'm free from the law of sin and death. I will never come into condemnation. Why then should I condemn myself when I stagger and I stumble, when I know I'm doing the best that I know how to do? I love the Lord with all of my heart, with all of my mind, with all of my strength, with all of my ability. I love the Lord. I want to know more about that homeland. I want to know more about Jesus. And this is what I'm trying to do, is to learn more. Now, if you've got a problem with the world, all you've got to do is come to Jesus. If the world entices you, just come to Jesus. He can make an end of it. He can do away with it. And God can bring you into this wonderful blessing that he hath brought men to, because the stars at Calvary, they fell. When the Jews went out, that meant that Satan was no longer in heaven. That meant that those wandering stars, those demon spirits, was no longer in heaven. And where these things are, there's no conscience of sin. I don't have a conscience of sin. I cannot sin because I don't have a conscience of sin. Paul said, I strive always to keep my conscience void of offense toward man and God. I don't have a conscience of sin. Because where these things are, there is no conscience of sin. God made an end of sin. And I pass from death unto life. I enjoy my experience with God because I am free from the law of sin and death. So when the Jews went out, when Jesus went out, that was the end of the devil. He went out. He's gone. He's in the darkness. And when those Jews come back in, when they come back in, it will indicate that that is altogether the finishing of Lucifer so far as the activities in this world. Right now, he's finished in our world. He's finished. We are free from him because we believe. But the world still has problems because as the Jews, they've never come to see. They've never come to understand. But when they do come to see, it will indicate that the world has come into light. And that they know right from wrong. And that will be the end of the devil. Because the devil dwells in the people of the world. The devil dwells in the people of the world. He dwells in the churches within the heart of mankind. But he doesn't dwell in my heart. He doesn't dwell in your heart. Nor any believer. Neither does he dwell in their heart. He does not dwell in the hearts of believers. So then if there should come a time that the blood comes off of the seat of atonement, then he will be within that individual that is a wandering star, that is a reflector, that has reflected this religious knowledge down through the years. But he will be within the individual that really has the mind of darkness. And he will be bound in that darkness, not being able to find his way. This is why they'll pray for death. Death will flee from them. This is why they will gnaw their tongues in pain. This is why their bodies will break out with balls as it did down in Egypt. And this is why the terrible things will come upon them. And this is why God said to the saints of God, ye pray always that ye may be able to escape those things that's coming on the world. So then don't let Satan dwell within you, not even in your mortal body. Don't give place to it. Because by faith in God, your body is clean. Your body is holy. But until the preacher preaches this to you, as down through the years and the church ages, as through the church, that they might know that God has already redeemed the body as well as the spirit, then the devil is going to take advantage of the weakness of the body, working through it to torment the spirit. But one day they're going to understand, and in doing it, they're going to bring their body away from that, and their body and spirit's going to make connection, which will be shown by the Jews coming in, and just like that, we'll be gone so far as this world is concerned. But right now, all you got to do is believe, and the devil can't bother you. You can put him to silence. You got power over him. Let's stand together. I know it's hot, it's sweaty. It is up here, and I know it is out there. The only difference is it runs out of me up here. I put it back in. That's the difference between the children of God and the world. As life leaves them, they can't put it back in. But we've got a fountain that's open within our heart, and we put it back in. Though the parasites are there to get it, yet we continually put life back in. Like the eagle that renews its life and its strength, we renew our life and strength in God. Moses on the mountain, 80 days, he renewed his strength and life. Abraham renewed his strength, his life, his youth. Sarah did the same thing. We have the power to do that. Enoch just walked on with God into glory to where he wouldn't have any more problems out of the weakness of the flesh. All by faith. For the Bible says by faith he was translated that he should not see death. For before his translation he had this testimony that he pleased God. Without faith it's impossible to please God, because the thing that pleases God is faith. That's why I preach faith like I do. That's why I practice faith like I do. That's why I believe in faith the way that I believe. And I'm constantly reminding you of faith. It may seem like a fairy tale to you, and it may seem of no value. It may not profit you. The Bible said the Jews had the word, but not being mixed with faith, the word did not profit them. But faith turns the word into life and into spirit and into power. This is why I preach faith. And this is why David, Paul said, we are contending for the faith. Faith in the Word of God. No matter what the world says, no matter what the accusing mind says, the Word of God is right. What it says, that's the way it is. That's it. No wavering, no doubt, no alterations, no changes. God said it. That's the way it is. Let's sing a little chorus together. Sweep over my soul, sweep over my soul, sweet spirit. Sweep over my soul, for my rest it is complete while I sit at your feet. Oh, sweet spirit, sweep over my soul. For I've anchored my soul in God's haven of rest, and I'll stay though I cease no more. And though the tempest may sweep out over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. Say it again. For we've anchored the soul in God's haven of rest. Don't you feel that peace? And I'll sail the wild seas no more. For though the tempest may sweep over the wild stormy deep, but in Jesus I am safe evermore. I need thee, Lord. I need thee. It's every hour I need thee. I need thee now, precious Savior. And oh, how I need thee. Sing it with me now. The altars are open. Don't turn him away. Oh, don't turn him away. For he has come back to your heart once again. So let him in to stay. For oh, how you'll need him to plead your cause on that eternal day. Listen to Jesus and hear his sweet voice, and don't turn him away. I found a new place in the heavenlies, a place of peace, a place of rest. I found a new place in God's heavenly. In Jesus Christ, my Lord. You love Jesus? Let's sing, I love him. I love him. I love him. All because that he first loved me, and he purchased my salvation on Calvary's tree. Every promise in the book, it is mine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is thine. Every chapter, every verse, and every line. And we're trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. For every chapter, every verse, and every line. And I'm trusting in the word divine. For every promise in the book, it is mine. Let's give him a hand. Jesus gave her water, and it was not from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went off to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well.
Well, for Jesus gave her the water, I wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her some water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back bringing others to the water that wasn't from the well. For others to the water that wasn't from the well, for Jesus gave her the water, and it wasn't from the well. Went away singing, came back a bringing others to this water. You know, if you ever drink of this water, you'll go get somebody else. Jesus gave her the water. It wasn't from the well. Jesus gave her the water, and she went forth to tell. She went away singing, and she came back alone. Others to this water, it wasn't from the well. Can you say praise the Lord? Give me another key, friend. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. I'll be ready when the bridegroom comes. For be it morning, noon, night, gonna be dressed in spotless white. I'll be ready when the bride. Can you sing it with me? Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, we're ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning to night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. Sing it with me again. Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? Are you ready for the bridegroom to come? For be it morning to night, we're all dressed in spotless white, and we're ready for the bride. One more time. For I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Oh, ready for the bridegroom to come. For be it morning or night, I'm all dressed in spotless white, and I'm ready for the bridegroom to come. Let's get it. Another hand. I don't want your gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. So I don't want no gold or silver, and I don't want your diamond ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything. Sing it again. I don't need no gold or silver, and I don't need ring. All I want is the love of Jesus for to me. He's my everything for to me. He's my everything. You love the Lord? God has saved me, and God has saved me from my sins. How many of you feel that God has saved you from your sins? If God hasn't saved me from my sins, what did He save me from?
And if he did save me, how can I then be in my sins? If God saved me, he saved me from something. And the something that he saved me from is my sins. And if he saved me from my sins, then I don't have any sin anymore. Isn't that right? If I still have sin, if I still walk in sin, then God hath not saved me. For how could he have saved me? If I am yet in my sins, how could he have saved me? Somebody says, well, I believe you sin every day, Brother Pike. Well, you need to get born again if you do. That's why the blood's there. You don't have to. The Bible said, he that is born of God, he doth not sin. He doth not sin any days. There is no sin to him. Therefore, there is no death to him. I'm eternal, folks. I pass from death unto life. I'm eternal. I'm going to live eternally. There's no need to talk about me dying. Like Brother Branham said one time, he said, when people tell you that I'm dead, so don't pay any attention to it. See, if somebody says, Brother Pike's dead, say nothing to it. Because I'm never going to die. I pass from death unto life. There won't be nothing to it. So we are saved from the law of sin and death. And therefore we say, oh, death, where is thy sting? Where is thy sting? Death, where is thy sting? Death can't tell you. Death, where is thy sting? And grave, where is your victory? You don't have any victory over me. You don't have any victory over me. That's why Enoch just went on home with God. That's why hundreds and thousands of people that will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye are gone with God, because the grave doesn't have any power over them. Jesus has done away with death. He's done away with sin. Where there's no sin, there is no death. How many of you know that the sting of death is sin? And that if there's no sin, there's no sting to death. And the bumblebee without his stinger can't cause you any problems. He might buzz around you and you might be allergic to bumblebees and that you're afraid. You know, he might cause you to break your neck running. But there really ain't nothing to him. Nothing at all. All right, so we're free from the law of sin and death. I look down at these pretty little girls and these pretty little boys, and I think, my, to think they'll never have to die. You know, Jesus took the little ones up in his lap one time. The disciples kept rebuking the little ones, and he said, don't do that. He said, bring them over here. And he reached down and he got the little ones and began to love them, you know. And he said, verily, verily, I say unto you, lest you become as a little child or one of these little children, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. And I said, Lord, what are you talking about? He was saying, this little child is innocent. It's innocent. There's not one thing against it in heaven. Their angel, their spirit, has never yet come into the realm of accountability. I say that their angel doth always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. That is, their spirit has never come into the accountability as to enter into the world to be charged with condemnation. He said they're still pure in heart. Now only the pure in heart shall see God. Lest ye become pure in heart as one of these little children, he said, ye shall in no wise enter into the kingdom of God. So then it warms my heart when I realize that these little ones are my little ones. We're bringing them up. And we're bringing them up to know that they are free from the law of sin and death, and that death hath no power over them. We are eternal, folks. We are eternal. Somebody says, one of these days. I'm not talking about one of these days. I'm talking about this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord has made. How many believe that this is the day? Ever since Calvary, this is the day of the Lord. John entered into the day of the Lord. You and I have entered into the day of the Lord. Oh, I know you say, well, I don't see all those things, Brother Pike. My, but you could. You could. Because you that are Christians, you might just be babes, but you've entered into the day of the Lord. We're in the Lord's day. And this is the day of the Sabbath. And there is no end to the Sabbath. We're in the day of His rest. We finished all of those things that was in the world. And the Bible said, he that hath entered into God's rest hath ceased from his own work. Calvary came, I left the works of the law. I entered into Christ's Sabbath. I entered into his rest. I am in his rest.
Therefore, I am free from the law of sin and death. I am at peace with God. Peace on earth, goodwill toward man. That is to say, he swore that they would not enter into his rest. When he didn't let them go into Canaan, it was typical of all of those that turned back into Egypt in their heart. He cut them off. He let the earth open up and swallow them up. And they never did go into Canaan. He raised up another generation. For he swore, because of their unbelief, they could not enter into his rest. But when you believe, you enter into rest. Because it is not of works, lest any man should boast, but it is of the rest. I am in the day that the Lord has made. Let's sing a little chorus together. I'm going to let you go in just a few minutes. Let's sing that chorus. Maybe Brother Taylor remembers. You'll remember. Even if I don't. This is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. The Lord hath made. We'll rejoice. I will rejoice and be glad. And be glad. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord. Do you really believe that? Sing it with me again. For this is the day. This is the day. The Lord hath made, the Lord hath made. Let we'll rejoice, let us rejoice and be glad in it, and be glad in it. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day. The day that, sing it one more time. For this is the day, this is the day that the Lord hath made. Lord hath made. I will rejoice, I will rejoice and be glad, and be glad. This is the day that the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. For this is the day. This is the day that the Lord hath made. I want to ask you a question just before we close. I know you're probably tired, and I'm tired too from the journey. But do you believe that there is a rest of the Lord? In that he said, seeing that these that were under the law did not enter into my rest, therefore there remaineth a rest for God's people. Beware, he said. Seeing that these did not enter in, beware yourself, lest the promise of entering into his rest be taken from you. So then, if you believe there is a rest, and you believe the Sabbath is the rest, then we have come to the Sabbath. For when Jesus said, "It is finished, Heavenly Father, as it is written of me in the book, I've come to do thy will, O God. Offerings and sacrifices thou wouldest not, but a body thou hast prepared me. For in them ye had no pleasure. But as it is written of me, O God, my Father, I come to do thy will." And when he'd done thy will, he said, "Now, Father, it is finished. You can start your Sabbath. You can enter into your rest." And the Heavenly Father said, "In thee, Son, I am well pleased. I am now at rest." All is well. He has secured all that God wanted. All that was lost, he brought it back to God. And today, everyone that God has given him, he said, "Father, I've not lost to one of them that you've given me. Not one of them is lost, except the son of perdition." And he was a devil when he came to be with him. He never entered into that rest. But folks, you that believe, the Bible said, he that believes has ceased from his own work and has entered into that rest. Now, if I am in that rest, can therefore I be troubled? if I am in that rest, is not that freedom from sin? For if sin is still in the Sabbath, in that the Bible said you're not to sin on the Sabbath, you're not to do your own will on the Sabbath, he that enters into the Sabbath of the Lord is free from all of those entanglements. Because on the Sabbath, they're not allowed to go but even a Sabbath day's journey as to moving around. So then if I'm free from sin, I am in the Sabbath. If I am in the Sabbath, then I am free from sin. Because there is no sin in the Sabbath. That's what the Sabbath is the day that is free from sin. For in 6 days he worked, and on the seventh day he rest. And now he hath rest from all of his work. And I have entered into the Sabbath, for I am hid with Christ in God, whom the Sabbath, all the heavens, have received until the time of the restitution of all things. Having entered into the Sabbath, shall I then sin and be troubled? Can I then sin and be troubled if I have entered into the Sabbath? How can I sin? Someone would say, well, you fail to work the works of Jesus. He said, this is the works of God, that you believe on him that the Father sent. How can I fail to work the works of Jesus when it is a finished work within my heart? And the law is fulfilled within my heart. And that's the sufficiency of God. So then, can I then sin? I have entered into the rest. He that has ceased from his own work. If I'm not working my own work, how then can I stumble and stagger and make the mistake of sin? Because I'm not doing anything to make the mistake. I am in the Sabbath. All right. So there is a rest for God's people. And they that have ceased from their own work has entered into that rest. Can we sing another chorus or two together? And we're going to let you go. Give me another key, Frank.
They'll come from the east and the west.
Can you sing with me?
They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed faith and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown. And sing it with me. For they'll come from the east and the west. They'll come from the lands that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed faith and aglow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems. And did you know people all over the world wants this revelation? So they came from the east and the west, and they came from the land that's afar to feast with the King, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed faith and aglow with his light.
grace as gems in his. Can you sing it just one more time with me? So we've come from the east and the west. We've come from the land that's afar to feast with the king, to dine as his guest. How blessed these pilgrims are, beholding his hallowed face and the glow with his light divine. We're blessed partakers of God's grace as gems in his crown to shine. Let's give him another hand. Can you lift your hands with me? Close your eyes and lift your hands with me as we come to the close of another service. Grateful, thankful for the wonderful opportunity of Jesus. So thankful for you lovely people that love the Lord. And though sometimes we may scold you or say things that seem strong or unreasonable, it's not because we do not love you. We love you with all of our heart. Paul said you're an epistle, our epistle, that's known and read of all men. And it's written not engraved in hearts of stone, but in hearts of flesh. For I will take out the heart of stone. What did he mean when he told them, I will take out the heart of stone? Someday, he said to the Jews, I will take out the heart of stone. It was the stones within, graved within the stones, the Bible said, written by the finger of God. The Jews believed in the law. That was the stony heart. They accepted the stones and the engravement. It was an entombment. As to thou shalt not, and the life was sealed within the bodily tomb and couldn't come forth to rejoice, cut off from God. But he said, I'll take out that heart of stone, and someday I will write my laws upon the table of your heart, that I will bring forth grace, and I will roll away the stone, and the stone has been rolled away. We sing that song, that the stone is rolled away. He's up from the tomb. Up from the tomb he arose. The stone is now gone. The tomb is now empty. The stone is rolled away. And you have a heart of flesh, as to be in flesh of his flesh and bone of his bone, as to his spirit, as he put it within the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, the word is made flesh. It is within your heart of flesh. As you think within your heart, so you are. You love the Lord? I want you to lift your hands, close your eyes, and while you've got your eyes closed, let's sing this chorus together. Gone, the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, this it and my father's. Oh, he's gone. All the day of triumph. Gone, sin is forgiven. Gone. And he lives forevermore. Can you sing it again? For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back. Gone, and the tomb is empty. Gone, to sit at my Father's side. Do you believe it? For he's gone, all the death triumphant. Gone, sin is defeated, gone. Think about it now. We're singing that the stone is gone. He's taken out the heart of stone. The stone of threat and condemnation is gone. The law is folded up and laid away. He hath made an end of sin and death. It is gone. What he did for me. When he overcame the grave, he did it for me. When he overcame death, he did it for me. He said, be strong in the power of my might. Even if you're weak and it looks like you can't make it, just believe on him anyway. And he's sufficient. For if thine heart condemn thee, the Bible said God is greater than thy heart. And he knoweth all things. He knows that he's gone and the tomb is empty. He knows he's gone and sin is defeated. Let's sing it again, will you? He's gone and the stone is rolled back, gone. And the tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. I want you to think of it with me. We're going to sing it one more time. Gone, stone. Remember, the body is dead and buried. It's nothing but an empty tomb. And in death, the spirit left the tomb. And it went back to God who gave it. And today, over death triumphant, gone. Sin is defeated, gone. We're going to sing it one more time. Send it to the right hand of the Father. For he's gone, and the tomb is rolled back, gone. And that tomb is empty, gone. To sit at my Father's side. He's gone, oh, the dead, gone. Sin is defeated. Can you sing it just one more time with me? For he's gone, and the stone is rolled back, gone, and the tomb is empty, gone, to sit at my Father's side. For he's gone, oh, the death triumphant, gone, sin is defeated, gone, and it lives forevermore. Can you say amen? While you're standing with your hands lifted up and your eyes are closed, think about what I have said. Think about the stone being gone. I'll take out the heart of stone. The bodily tomb that's made out of the dust is empty. For the spiritual inner man at death, triumphant over death. Gone, death is defeated. Gone. The inner man was translated into heaven. For God has translated you into his marvelous kingdom as to the inner man. And your spiritual inner man is hid. It's come out of the tomb and the stone has been rolled away. The law cannot hold it anymore. Satan cannot hold your life in bondage to the body, savoring the things that be of the flesh, to desire the beggarly elements of this world. So then, your spirit has gone back to God who gave it. It's at the right hand of the Father, and it's not you living, but Christ. Gone. Gone. Gone forevermore. You're there to never be troubled with sin, never anymore. You'd ask Brother Randall to come up and pray with us. As Brother Randall comes to pray, remember, you are victorious over death, condemnation, sin, and shall never, never, the Bible said, and ye shall never come into condemnation. They that are in the flesh cannot please God, but ye are not in the flesh, for he has chosen you out of the tomb, and the tomb is empty. And he's chosen you out of the flesh and hid you with Christ in God, so then you are to rejoice forevermore. Don't let condemnation rule over your life. Don't listen to the accuser. Don't believe a thing.
thing that he's got to say. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. Take these words that I've spoken, incorporate them in your life, and you'll be great, mighty, great men and women for God. You'll be victorious. You'll set men free. They'll look at you and literally marvel. They'll say, how can he do it? He stands there. He defeats the devil. He defeats spirits. He defeats problems. How? By faith in what he said. Death is defeated. No condemnation to you. Condemn not thyself. Happy is he. Walk, rejoice forevermore, for ye belong to God. All right.